Hey there, I'm Carmen.
And I'm Christine. Welcome to The Conversation.
You can always find us on your Hope Coach podcast with Carmen Horn or on YouTube at Christine Brown.
Either way, we're glad you're here. So let's get started.
Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, my friend. I'm so happy to see you today.
It's good to see you too. We are, spring is kind of springing around here in Louisiana. Starting to kind of happen a little bit. How about in Texas?
It is. We're actually having a cold front today. So you know what that means. If I got it today, that means you guys may get it in the next couple of days. So it was, it was a little unexpected, but it is still nice to see things blooming around here. And I always love the change of seasons. So it's just something renewing about the change of seasons.
Absolutely. In the world and in our life as well.
That's right.
Amen, sister. Amen, sister. Well, listen, today we're talking about how to keep trusting God while you wait. And so I thought this is a, we talked about this, and this is something that we struggle with. And we thought, you know, our listeners probably struggle with this as well. We've all experienced this waiting times.
Oh, so true. Waiting seasons. I mean, we've all been there for what, for different reasons, maybe, you know, it might be like a health concern where, you know, sometimes those waiting seasons these days means just waiting to get in to see the doctor. You know, someone can have an issue that they feel is really vitally important to them and they're really struggling, and it might be 6 weeks or more before you can get in and see the doctor. That can be a difficult waiting season, or waiting on a test result.
When I was waiting for my in this like a month long wait to get a biopsy when I had a breast biopsy last year, that was a stressful time for me. You know, I didn't want to wait. I wanted to know now. And then I had to wait on the results. So
It's definitely stressful. And then there can be those even longer term things like a relationship that's broken that we have with a family member, someone we love that we haven't connected with in a long time. And we're praying that God will restore that. Or maybe a prodigal child who is, has walked away from us or walked away from the Lord, and we're praying for that restoration. That can be agonizing and heartbreaking. And how do we hold on to that? You know, I mean, whatever it is that is, has created our waiting season, whether it's a job, financial situation, whatever, how do we, how do we do that?
That's something we're going to talk about today. And we hope we give some Holy Spirit answers to help our listeners. Why is waiting so hard? You know, that's, what do you think? I mean, why is waiting so hard?
Right. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. And I think that like in any situation, we need to start in God's word and see what his word has to say about it. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start with a verse, Psalm 130 and 5. And the English Standard Version of that says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope." I love that. It's short, sweet, easy to memorize. I love those easy to memorize ones. But I also love this because the New Living Translation translates that verse. Instead of saying, "I wait for the Lord," it says, "I am counting on the Lord." Yes, I am counting on him. I think that says so much for us as believers, because when we wait on the Lord, waiting on God is not passive. And this shows us that when we're waiting on him, we're trusting that he is going to handle the situation for us. We're counting on him. So that's important. I think we wait, but we don't wait without hope.
So many times I say, "I'm dependent on you, Lord. I'm dependent on you, Lord," when I'm praying, you know, because that's what I'm basically saying in my, in Carmen's words, you know, "I'm counting on you," you know, that kind of thing. So when we say it's not passive, well, that's great. I mean, it's not passive, but what's happening? What's happening within us while we're waiting, you know?
A lot, you know, but we may not know it. We may not realize, because when I'm waiting, I don't feel like anything's happening. I feel like I'm, well, I feel like it's negative things. Like I feel like I'm growing weaker. And there, you know, the popular verse that many of us love and probably have memorized or little bits and pieces memorized is that Isaiah 40 and 31 that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Yeah. And that one always strikes me because it's, you know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But I don't feel strong when I'm waiting. I feel just exhausted.
Yeah.
But that one does speak hope to our waiting seasons. It goes on to say, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we know that there is a lot happening within us when we wait. We are growing stronger. We are learning to depend on the Lord if we choose to wait well and seek Him more in that waiting season.
Yeah. Yesterday, you shared some from the Amplified when we were having our pre-record meeting. You shared this verse from the Amplified, and I really liked that. Did you want to share that with us? What that brought out, what the Amplified brought out?
Yes, I think it really emphasizes the psalm that I shared previously, because the Amplified version of Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him will gain new strength and renew their power." So it just shows that we are waiting with hope. We are waiting in expectation. We're looking for God to do something and trusting that He is going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Even if we have to remind ourselves, that's what we're doing.
And don't we? I mean, every day, really, truly, because it is so easy to fall into bad habits in waiting. I mean, frustration is one that's at the top of my list when I'm waiting. Bitterness, anxiety, all of these things come out because we have so much time that we're trying to resist the urge to do something. For me, that's really hard to do. So it's easy to get caught up in all of these bad habits. So we have to continually, daily go back to that renewal. And using verses like these two is a great tool for that. So, you know, we'll be sure and put those in the show notes as well. Because having those written somewhere where you can say them over and over again is very helpful.
Yes. We have a little prayer we're going to share at the end of this too, that I think is going to be easy for our listeners to memorize.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be good. So in your book, Cinched, you kind of introduced us a little more intimately to Rahab than we probably have taken the time to study for ourselves. And you help us see how she waited so well. And I just loved how you pulled that out, because I didn't even think about that or notice it the many times I've read Rahab's story. So tell us a little bit about why you see Rahab waiting so well and what we can learn from that.
Rahab did have quite a waiting season, and we don't often think about that related to her story. You know, most of us, if we are familiar with Rahab, we remember her as the woman who hid the two Israelite spies who came into the land to scope things out before they were to come in and conquer the land and receive the land that God had promised. So she hid those two spies, and we know her from that part of her story. But what I started to focus in on and see in Rahab is that when she had that conversation with the two spies, there was two things that they told her that she needed to do in order to be rescued when they came in to take over the land. Yeah. She was to tie the red cord to the window so that they would be able to find her home. And the second thing is that she and her family had to stay inside the home until they returned. And if she wasn't there, if they went outside the home for any reason and something happened to her, their deal was off.
Yeah.
That meant that it was null and void, and they couldn't be held responsible for what happened to her. So the crazy thing is, from that time when they left, she had a long time to wait inside the home. So she was like in this waiting room and couldn't see what was going on and how God was working it out for her. She just had to trust that He was doing it. And it was quite a wait. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like they had cars and things back then to get them back where they needed to go. There was a lot going on for them to get back across the river, inform Joshua, and all of the steps that they had to take to get ready to enter the promised land.
When you said waiting room, that reminds me of how often we are in waiting rooms, and You know, I was just thinking about when my mom was so sick and we waited, excuse me, we had to be in waiting rooms. And I just looked at the people around us, you know, and we're all sitting there waiting to find out what's going to happen next. Yeah,
Right.
those are difficult spots to be in. I imagine Rahab was nervous. She was probably scared.
Yeah, I wonder about that sometimes because when I look back, how many times in my life do I see that I know God was clearly telling me to wait,
Yeah.
but I just could not resist the urge to intervene. Like I
Yeah.
just felt like I needed to do something. And I
Yeah.
try to
Yeah.
put myself in Rahab's place. Like I would have been pacing the floors trying to figure out what I could do to fix the situation because she couldn't see. And as the readers of scripture, we're given a really great gift in that because when the spies leave, the scene shifts
Yeah.
and we don't see what's happening inside Rahab's home when she's in the waiting room. We see all of what God is doing behind the scenes. And we don't get to see that in our own. So being able to see God working out the plan for Rahab with all of the intricate details gives us hope and encouragement to know God is doing that for us too. So will we, are we going to be able to keep trusting him the way Rahab did? And she did. She tied the cord to the window like she was supposed to. She was obedient. They stayed inside the home. And things did work out for her and her family. They came back and rescued her. God did just as he said. But she walked in obedience in that waiting season.
And she was just an infant in her knowledge of God. I'm sure she'd heard it through the years. But you know, we all know Rahab's reputation from years past. And so her faith just amazes me. Just amazes me that she trusted that the God of the Israelites was going to save her. Amazing, amazing.
Well, when you look back at that, the psalm that we talked about, Psalm 130 and 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope, I'm counting on the Lord. The psalms were songs that the Israelites sang to the Lord. And a lot of that was based on what they knew that God had done previously. And that's what, like you said, that's what Rahab had to do. She had to base what she was doing, her waiting on what she had heard and what she knew that God had done previously. And oh, if we can get a hold of that,
I
if
know,
we
I
can
know.
just hold on to that and trust him based on the works and the blessings that he has done in the past and those promises, it will change us. Like you said at the beginning of our conversation, it will change our spiritual growth and what's happening with us on the inside.
That's a good time when you pray those prayers. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. That's
That's
been
right.
that's a great time then. You know, we also talked about somebody that was just the opposite of Rahab yesterday was Sarah. Oh, Sarah. She intervened, Christine.
She did. She did.
She
And I can totally relate. I'm not gonna lie. I will be completely honest with you here. I've done that. I've been Sarah. I have intervened when I just took control. I felt like I needed to do something and I did it. And, in those situations, God is so gracious and so good to us. He doesn't remove his blessings when we come back. We come back and we repent and say, I'm sorry, Lord, but it can interfere. It can delay its fulfillment. So, in Sarah's situation, I mean, she did have her promised blessing in Isaac. But there was also a lot that they had to deal with in their lives because she chose to intervene. And that is a good lesson too for
It
all of
sure
us.
is. I mean, their whole life. I mean, this is a consequence that they dealt with their whole life, you know, after that. And
Yeah,
so,
that is so true.
That's when you pray that quick prayer, fix it, Lord. You go from do
Yes, absolutely.
it again, Lord, do it again to fix it, Lord, fix
That's
it.
right. And I mean, this is only a little snippet. I didn't get into all the details of everything that happened in Rahab's waiting season. But if anyone is interested in finding out more about that, I do have a free 5-day email study called Walking with Rahab. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And I also want to put a link to a blog post that you've written called The Waiting Room. And you mentioned a waiting room experience that you had. And so I want to put a link to that too, because it's very encouraging. I think that will encourage our listeners. So if you're in a waiting season right now and would like a little more study on this topic, I encourage you to go to both of those places.
Yeah, right. We've been there.
Yeah.
And we will all be there in the future.
Absolutely. You waiting know? Seasons are just around the corner. If we're not in one right now, we soon will be.
Absolutely. They come and go. They come and go. Well, one of the things I wanted to bring out, Christine, was something they can do. They can ask for themselves, you know. They can look at where they're at in their life and identify an area where God's asking them to wait. And so they are actually in this season we're talking about. Look for that area in your life and where God's asking you to wait, and see if you can take some of the truths that we've shared so far and use those to encourage yourself while you're waiting. And then we wrote this little quick little prayer for everybody because, you know, I'm all about a little quick, fast prayer. I throw them up all the time, you know. And so we wrote this little prayer yesterday. Lord, I trust you as I wait. And that's something that they can repeat over and over through their day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Several times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, every time the frustration and the fear hits them in the waiting season, just throw it up there, y'all. Lord, I trust you while I wait.
Lord, I trust you as I wait. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I love that.
Well, that sounds great.
This is a good little visit today. I think we gave some good information, some stuff that we've learned, and some things that we can continue to use while we wait.
So, absolutely.
I want to thank everybody for being here with us and joining in, listening in.
Yeah, thank you guys for being here. It's good to see you again. Well, if we don't see you before then, we will see you next time.
That's right. Bye, everybody.